Hello, friends. Denny Pruto here to respond to a request to talk a little bit about the subject of greed. And what I'm going to do is to do a little word study. I have several texts that have to do with greed and lust and covetousness. These three terms are related to each other. They're siblings. They're brothers and sisters. And I want to show you that the answer to the problem of greed is contentment. Let's look at the texts that I have that have to do with greed and lust and covetousness, and then turn to the idea of contentment. First of all, Luke chapter 12 and verse 15. Then he said to them, "Beware and be on your guard against every form of greed, for not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions." No, the possessions we have do not really give us life, and our life should not be bound up in our possessions. We should not be like little children who look at their playmates and are jealous about what they have and greedy and want to take those possessions, the possessions of our playmates, away from them and gather them in a pile in front of us. Greed. "For not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions." There was a report in the news in the last few days about a treasure hunter, a fellow who had several investors and wanted to see if he could discover a sunken ship that had several million dollars worth of gold. And he found the treasure and was able to retrieve it, and over a period of time sold the treasure for tens of millions of dollars. But then he refused to pay his investors and disappeared. Greed. Greed leads to seeing our possessions as the great thing in life and leads to the idea of theft and can lead to other grave sins also. Listen to Romans chapter 1 and verses 28 and 29. "And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind, to do those things which are not proper, being filled with unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice." Listen to the things with which greed is listed: murder, strife, deceit, and malice. This should give you an idea regarding the seriousness of the sin of greed. Paul exhorts in Ephesians 5:3, "But immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you." Greed and immorality are put in the same sentence together and in a sense equated as far as the seriousness of sin. Often individuals who are in the corporate world say that greed is a good thing because greed is a motivator, and greed causes individuals who are working in the corporate world to succeed and for their corporations to succeed. But greed is a great sin. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. The Apostle Paul says in Colossians 3:5 that greed amounts to idolatry. The word greed, the English word, is given as covetousness in Colossians 3:5 in the English Standard Version. That is, I should say, the Greek word translated greed in the New American Standard Version is translated covetousness in the English Standard Version and also in the King James Version. Greed and covetousness are sisters. They are sister sins. And greed amounts to idolatry. Covetousness is translated to be idolatry. Why is this the case? Because the heart sets itself on certain objects to such an extent that those objects become, shall we say, objects of veneration and worship. And so covetousness amounts to idolatry. For we never came with flattering speech, as you know, nor with the pretext of greed. Paul tells the Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 5, that he did not come to them with the pretext of garnering to himself possessions, of gathering from them offerings that he could spend on himself. You remember that the Apostle Paul was very careful among the Corinthians. He was a tent maker, and he provided for his own welfare and did not use offerings to support himself, although he knew that those offerings could be taken to support himself. He did not want to be accused of greed or covetousness. The King James Version again translates this Greek word, translated greed in the New American Standard Version, as covetousness. Covetousness and greed are siblings, you see. And 2 Peter 2:3 reads, "And in their greed they will exploit you with false words." In other words, people come to you and tell you stories to exploit you and get you to give them their money, to get you to give them their possessions. You may tell your little friends stories to frighten them, to cause them to give you the possessions that they have, the toys that they have. And this is a manifestation of greed. You ought not to do this sort of thing. And listen to 2 Peter 2:14. "Having eyes full of adultery that never cease from sin, enticing unstable souls, having a heart trained in greed, accursed children." If you are a greedy person and seek to exploit others and tell them stories so that you can get their possessions, your heart, as the Apostle Peter says, may be trained in greed and in covetousness. This is the sin in which you are involved in. And when we look at the term covet or covetousness, we find out immediately that we're talking about a problem of the heart. Listen to what Jesus says. "For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, fornications, thefts, murders, adulteries, deeds of coveting and wickedness, as well as deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, and foolishness. You see, these various sins that include deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness are numbered with the sin of coveting. The sin of coveting. And as we'll see from the 10th commandment, the commandment says, "You shall not covet." And why is coveting and lust and greed such a deep sin of the heart? Because this sin leads to other sins. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's possessions. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his husband. Because lusting after these things, having a greed in your heart to have these things for yourself, will lead you to commit adultery, will lead you to steal from your neighbor, will lead you to lie to your neighbor. This is a very deep-seated sin of the heart. Paul then says in Romans chapter 7 and verses 7 and 8, "What shall we say then? Is the law sin? May it never be. On the contrary, I would not have come to know sin except through the law." What does the law do? It comes to us and speaks to our hearts and reveals the sin in our hearts. Paul says, "For I would not have known about coveting if the law had not said, 'You shall not covet.'" You could translate the commandment, "You shall not lust." It's the same word. And so the commandment came and revealed Paul's sin, the sin resident in his heart. Paul goes on to say, "But sin," see, the commandment was not bad. It was sin resident within him. "But sin, taking opportunity through the commandment, produced in me coveting of every kind." In other words, when the commandment came, sin revived and I died, Paul says in another place. And this commandment revived in him and showed to him his deep sinfulness of heart. The commandment revealed to him his lust, the coveting within his own heart. "But sin, taking opportunity through the commandment, produced in me coveting of every kind, for apart from the law, sin is dead." And so you see, the commandment comes along and displays to us the sinfulness of our hearts. Now, what does Paul say? What does Paul tell Timothy with regard to the sin of lust, the sin of violating the 10th commandment, the sin of being like the treasure hunter who saw all this gold and was overtaken by the greed in his heart and said, "I'll have all of that gold for myself and I'll not pay those who invested in my project. I'll not pay them their due, but I'll steal the gold from them and flee the country and hide." What does Paul say about such lust? Very simple. "Now flee from youthful lusts. and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. You see, the question is a question of heart. Greed is something that comes from the heart. And if you are greedy, you have a sin problem in your heart. And so you need to turn away from greed and lust and covetousness. You need to repent of this sin. This is one side of what Paul has to say. But now, let's turn to this other word, contentment. And before we give the full-blown answer to the problem of lust and greed and covetousness in contentment of heart, let's look at what the Bible says, or how the Bible uses this word contentment, or the word content. Listen to Luke 3:14. Do not take money from anyone by force or accuse anyone falsely, and be content with your wages. Don't try to influence people and to take what is lawfully theirs away from them to satisfy your own lust, but be content with what you have, and be content with the wages that you have. You have a job, you have employment, you have work, and you receive compensation for that work. For the time being, be content with the wages that you have. This doesn't mean that you shouldn't look for better employment or seek to improve your lot in life in a godly and lawful and proper way. No, you ought to do this. Years ago, after I got out of the Army, it was very difficult for me to get a job. People in the corporate world were not interested in individuals who came out of the Army. It was true in that day, and it's largely true in this day also. And I finally wound up taking a job in a print factory at minimum wage. And for the time being, because I had a little bit of income to squeak by, I was content in that circumstance. But I also was seeking better employment. And I was seeking God for a call as a pastor in a church. I was seeking ministry. I was content for the time being with that minimum wage job, but I was also looking and seeking the Lord for a better circumstance. And so you see, we ought to lay aside lust, and we ought to lay aside the problem of greed and covetousness, and be content. We should flee youthful lusts. Paul says to the people in Corinth, 2 Corinthians 12:10, therefore I am well content with weakness, with insults, with distress, with persecutions, with difficulties, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. You see, Paul was content in difficult circumstances because God was with him, and he knew God was taking care of him. He believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ to take care of him. And so there was a peace of heart and a contentment within his heart as he went through various trials and insults and distresses and also physical maladies. Paul says in 1 Timothy 6:8, if we have food and covering, with these we shall be content. Individuals in the Middle East now that are in war-torn areas are without many of the privileges and many of the benefits that we in the United States have every day. And they need to learn in those circumstances to be content with food and clothing. And certainly we need to be content when we have adequate food and we have adequate clothing. We may not like particularly the clothing we have. We may look at the clothing that others have, and we may therefore be discontent and covet the clothing that others have. But that's a sin on our part. And we may see the food that others have and be discontent with the food that we have. But this is a sin on our part. We need to flee youthful lusts and learn to be content. You see, if we have learned greediness, if we have come to the place of training our hearts in greediness, we need to train our hearts in contentment. Hebrews 3:13-5. Make sure that your character, make sure that you're a person of character, that you're like Christ. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. Make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. It's not money that's the problem. It's the love of money. You see, it was a wonderful thing that this treasure hunter found this ship under the sea that was filled with tens of millions of dollars worth of gold. It was a good thing that he found all of this. The problem was not with the gold. The problem was not with the money. The problem was with the love of the money. When the lust and the greed arose in his heart, and he fled with the money and would not pay his investors that portion of the money that they were due. The love of money is the problem. And so we need to learn to be content. And this brings us to Philippians 4:11-13. Listen carefully to this text. Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstance I am. Contentment is the answer to covetousness. You see, the 10th commandment, when it says, "You shall not covet," is urging contentment. It's telling us to flee youthful lust. That's the negative side. But on the positive side, it's urging us to learn contentment. Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means. I also know how to live in prosperity. Paul knew how, as a man of the cloth in the Jewish society, he learned to be one who lived in prosperity, and he was very content. But then when he came to Christ, he understood in jail the need to live in want and in humble means, and he was content to do so. For I speak Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstance I am. I know how to get along with humble means. I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. Now, as a Christian, Paul is learning and has learned the secret of being filled and of going hungry. He is a disciple of Christ. And the idea of learning here carries with it the idea of discipleship. And if you're a true disciple of Jesus Christ, you will flee youthful lusts and you will learn. You will learn by the power of God and by the grace of God to be content in every circumstance in which you find yourself. And listen to what the Apostle Paul says in Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You see, this line, Philippians 4:13, is not just a line that you put on a plaque and hang on your kitchen wall or put on your refrigerator or hang in the bathroom. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The specific context of these words is the context of learning contentment, of fleeing youthful lusts and learning contentment. So what must you do? You must learn to turn away from youthful lust, repent of sin, and turn to Christ and ask Christ to forgive you of covetousness and lust and greed, and ask God to give you a peace of heart and contentment in the circumstance in which you find yourself. You can do these things through Christ who strengthens you, who gives you by grace the ability to do so. This is the wonderful thing. And so, how is it that you overcome lust and covetousness and greed? You don't simply look at the commandment that says you shall not covet and turn from covetousness and greed, but you have to take the positive step of asking God's forgiveness and asking God to change your heart and give you the inner desire to live a contented life. Listen to Philippians 4 once again. Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstance I am. I know how to get along with humble means. I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Yes, if greed and lust and covetousness is sin, and you are to flee youthful lust, at the same time you are to turn to Jesus Christ and trust Him in His grace. You must trust Him in His grace of forgiveness, and you must trust Him in His grace and strength, and realize that Philippians 4:13 has as its context the ability to live in contentment in the circumstance in which you presently find yourself. Yes, the commandment says, you shall not covet, you shall not lust. but the commandment also urges on the positive side, urges you to live in contentment. And you, as a Christian, as one who believes in Jesus Christ, can do this by Christ, who strengthens you in the inner person. Thanks for listening.